Because of the late arrivals, I'll put off, but I know it'll be Bart's beginning statement to you, and ask that we use this time for our first round meditation in order to keep from giving instructions twice. Let me just simply say that most of you have been asked to look over a sheet of meditation exercise that was sent out. Now, the other option I would give you briefly is this. Please, in this first half hour round, decide which of these feels right to you, either the one of working with your hara in and out counting, or please put your awareness on your nose and nostril area. If you would all do this now, please. Please feel the incoming and outgoing of the breath. Incoming and outgoing of the breath. Just keeping aware of that, not counting, not thinking, just being totally and completely aware. Live in this area. That's all you need to do. See, please, keep this going for this round of meditation and see how you feel about this particular type of awareness as contrasted to the other. And we will begin the formal statement when the rest of us are here. We do one round of 30 minutes seated and one round of 10 walking. If you would follow Joy Franklin, she will be the first to walk to show you how our pattern should go. When we do walking meditation, it is simply an excuse to get up and move the body because you're going to be cramped, or unless you're quite unusual. And the point is to be aware of foot touching ground, foot touching ground, foot touching ground. Please don't be aware of anything else in the universe. Don't take it a time to look out the window and so forth, because you will find that the external, we have plenty of time to go to the sea and look at the sky and so forth. Please keep your total awareness on foot touching the ground, foot touching ground. I want you to be so aware that the whole universe is nothing more than foot touching ground as you move through the paces, keeping always aware. And the other thing which is difficult is from this moment until a time indicated, would you please remain silent? And I would like to say that whispering is talking, however silent we might think it. The reason being, if you are going to really find anything within yourself, you are going to have to turn out the external world to some extent. The degree to which you do it now, given the opportunity, I think you will find it profitable. You can leave here in 2 days and talk for the next 25 years. Use this chance. It isn't often that someone gives you an opportunity that says for 2 days you do not have to communicate in any way. That means you do not have to smile at people when you go past them. They are not going to think that you're rude. Watch and see the tremendous pull the world has on you by just wanting to communicate with you, by wanting to get your attention, by wanting you to smile or to somehow respond. Please be totally aware of how much of your day you spend trying to keep your rapport going with the world. Give yourself this chance, will you? Perhaps you can break free of some of those tremendous bonds that bind us all. So then, half an hour, please. Good morning, then. Let us be clear of why we're here. Your vast selves have gone to a great deal of trouble to place you here. Let's not waste it. This is your workshop. To whatever extent you put your heart and your soul and your will into this, is the extent to which you will leave here a different person. If you do not wish a different state of awareness, you will not achieve it, no matter how perfect the conditions, no matter how willing your fellow man. It is up to you. In the next 2 days, if you are paying close attention to your mind, to your body, to your emotions, you are going to see many things. You're going to see the face of your resentment when someone pushes ahead of you through the door as you're trying to walk. You're going to see your irritation when someone is walking too slowly and you want to be in a hurry. You're going to be angry at yourself for being so foolish as to place yourself in such a boring tedious situation. You are going to be terrified as you see the face of your negative side, so-called, coming up in your meditations. You're going to fantasize of all the things that you could have been doing, that you could have been doing if you hadn't been foolish enough to come, and, well, perhaps I can become very ill, and then perhaps I don't have to come back tomorrow, and no one will blame me because so on. I'm telling you this ahead of time because the ego likes to pretend. It likes to control you in such a way that you will not be able to see its face. In these 2 days, it is within your capability of not only seeing the face of the ties that bind you, but seeing the way out of it. This is not a glamorous workshop. You'll have to save your philosophical and theological and psychological insights for some other place. This is a place to see yourself absolutely as you are. There are various so-called exercises contrived for this end. It doesn't matter what we do. We could do anything. These are just the ones selected for this time space. There is one directive I would give you without question. If you can do this one directive, whatever we put you through, you will see. And it is this. It is within this physical framework of this body form that you are going to meet your divine energy. It is true. You do not have to astral project out into the ethers in order to meet your divine self. And how lucky, because that's not easy to do. It is far easier to become enlightened than it is to astral project, and that is a fact. When you find within this body form the acceptability of this body form so much that you stay in it, that you stay with it, watching it, watching it, watching it, watching. Did you watch your minds as you walked? Did you watch your minds as you sat? What are your concerns? You should see them clearly now. What are the things that go on in your head? You should know. What are your emotions? What does your body feel like? This is your opportunity. You know, all the great ones say, know yourself. And you think that means picking up a book and reading somebody else's ideas. I mean literally, know yourself. What are the thoughts that pursue you? What are the fantasies that trap you? What are your emotions that go through you? What is going on with you? Who, this day, in time-space, are you? And you will know. By the end of 2 days, you will know. Some of you are so intellectual that you will have tremendous difficulty seeing the simplicity of this. You'll say, oh no, I should have gone to a seminar and I could have spoken and I could have heard words and we would all have been very eloquent together, and then we go home and fall asleep and wake up the next day and we are the same. Words do not change anything. Please watch yourself like the hawk that flies across the sea, watching, watching. Please watch. Watch yourself. When you are finished, you will know. You will know those things that repeatedly trap you in your awareness. You will know the sense of who you are within your body form. You will know. If you give yourself the right to do so. And the best way is to understand, when I say silence, I mean silence, and I will tell you why. A great deal of man's day is spent trying to make other people find him acceptable. And your main way is through speech. Some of you are eloquent in speech, but without that, I ask you to see who you are. Speech is nothing. Being is everything. And you will find out how amazingly wonderful it is to just be, to not have to worry about how people see you, how people think about you. You will leave here, and you may never know these people's names. But you will know something far different. And that is what I ask you to be aware of. Those of you that are couples, be aware of this. This is the chance to bond yourself through non-communication, so that words are never necessary. Those of you that are not couples, do it with other people. You can communicate each with each other from the heart today and tomorrow, and you don't have to say a word. And that is how I ask you to walk through these 2 days, with your hearts open, just totally open. No one in this room is going to hurt you. Just live it. So as we move through all of the different exercises, I ask you to just keep remembering to allow. To allow, to allow. And out of that you are going to see arising your pure self. It is there and it will arise and you will see it and you will say, how amazing I am. How amazing I am. And you, and you, and you, and you. And that is our gift to each other. There are no tricks. We simply stay in our body form, out of our minds, not allowing the mind to pursue us endlessly. Living. I hope all of you brought some kind of a wrap, is it true? To keep you warm. I would like to begin by a walk to the beach, and Miss Alexander, you'll have to lead me. I have absolutely no awareness of this.
You need good walking shoes because it's quite a trek down the cliff.
Is there anyone who doesn't feel capable of making that kind of a trek? Now, you are not walking for any purpose. You are walking to experience walking. You are going to walk, and that is it. You're just going to walk. You are going to be an entity moving through time-space with no goal, with no hope, with no expectation, nothing. We're just going to rise up, and we're going to walk. And you're going to let your body and your heart lead you. Some of you will go one way, some of you will go another. Just go. I will take the bell when we're down there. I hope the neighbors won't be concerned. I'm going to ring it and we will return, or we will sit someplace. I don't want you to go with purpose. You will find, watch carefully, it is very difficult to walk without purpose. Oh, I will walk from here to that rock and then I will turn around. That is a goal. Oh, well, I will walk in this direction so I don't have to be with that person. That is a goal. Oh, I would like to walk in that direction to be with that person. That is a goal. Oh, I see a beautiful feather down there. I think I'll go and take it back to Taos. That is a goal. I say that for the woman, because that's much likely what she should do. It is very difficult to walk without goal. See if this time-space, walking without goal, just for the wonder of entity walking through life. Wonderful. Absolutely amazing. Nothing needed, nothing to take away, nothing to gain. Just walk. Please. Walk with that understanding. That's all you need. If you understand that one thing this weekend, you cannot imagine how it can change your life. To know the power of that alone begins to free you from binds outside yourself. Then you don't need other, then you don't need this, you don't need that. You just are energy moving through time-space. How amazing. Are you ready? Then let's go. I can see by some of your faces that you're beginning to get it. It is so simple. Please keep remembering that. It is so incredibly simple. You are. That is all there is to say. Not you are this and you are that, but you simply are. And that is enough. We'll be breaking for some tea or fruit or whatever you have in mind, but before I do that, I would like to ask you to get in your meditation position, please. And I will take you through a reading of the type of meditation that you might attempt in these next 2 days, based on my beginning statement of working with the air entering and exiting through the nostrils. Find a comfortable place to sit with the back straight but not rigid. If you close your eyes and just listen to me, please, and follow the instructions. Allowing the body to just breathe naturally, bringing the attention to the most noticeable point of touch where the breath makes contact as it enters the nostrils. Bring the awareness to the sense of touch of the air as it passes in and passes out. Station the attention like a watchman at a city gate who notices those passing in and passing out, but does not follow them in or out, who simply remains alert at the gate. Keep your attention at one precise point and note the sensation that accompanies each breath as it flows in and flows out of the body in the natural breathing process. Keep your awareness at one precise point. If the attention strays, bring it back to the touching point that notices the breath as it comes and goes at the nostrils. Note breathing in, breathing out. Not thinking about breath, not even visualizing it, just being with the sensation as it arises with the touch of the air passing in and passing out of the nostrils. You are receiving sets. Sounds arise. Thoughts arise. Other sensations arise. All our background arising and passing away. In the foreground is the moment-to-moment awareness of the sensation of breath coming and going. Not pushing anything away, not grasping at anything. Just clear, precise, gentle observation of the breath. Mindfulness of breathing. Sensations arise in the body. Thoughts arise in the mind. They come and go like bubbles. The awareness of breath is foreground. In the background, everything else is as it is. But the open, soft mind doesn't stick. Each breath unique, sometimes deep, sometimes shallow, always slightly changing. Breathing just happening by itself. Awareness simply watching. The whole body relaxed. Eyes soft. Face relaxed. Shoulders loose. The belly full and easy. No holding anywhere. Just awareness and breathing. Just consciousness and the object of consciousness arising and passing away, moment to moment, in the vast space of mind. Don't get lost. If the mind pulls away, gently with a soft, non-judging, non-clinging awareness, return to breath. Note the whole breath from its beginning to its end, precisely, clearly, from sensation to sensation. I hope you're beginning to feel the power and why you meditate in groups. It works. If you just keep with it, it works. It will break now, but when you go to do your ritual of eating and whatever that might be for you in the kitchen area, I would ask that you do it in a different way than you usually do it, and I would like to tell you why. If you can find 15 minutes of your day continually every day to practice this, I think you will soon learn why it is so worthwhile. The reason that you are not aware of who you are is that you move so fast. You are moving so fast that you cannot know who you are. Once you learn the wonder of being and feeling who you are all the time, then this kind of exercise will be superfluous. But until that time, please, look. Would all of you please raise your right hand very carefully up into the air, please. Very carefully, please. I want you to feel all of that sensation. All of it, please. I want you to feel all of the movement of that. And then down, please. It is my absolute belief that the reason people attach so much attention to the pleasures of, say, sexual experience and so forth, is simply because most of the time they are not aware of the wonderful feelings of all of the other movements of your body. So therefore, we attach tremendous experience when we are aware. In the sexual act, most of you are very much there, vitally there. I would ask you to feel that you can enjoy moving your arms, walking through space, feeling the tea in your hand, the warmth of it, drinking it and feeling it, or opening up the grapefruit, smelling the essence, feeling of it. I would like you to move now through this next ritual of eating with such slowness, such awareness, that you begin to understand just opening an orange is an incredible experience. Please become aware of that. Give yourself the chance to slow down. Slow down. Just move with all of that inner slowness that makes you alive. A meditation workshop to be of any value at all has to not be an isolated 2 days out of time. It has to be something that is a beginning, something that you can take with you, something that somehow changes you. Not through any magic, but through the power of your own understanding. What we are trying to do here is to continually present you to the meditative state again and again and again in as many ways as we know. In walking, in eating, in speaking, in sitting, in sleeping, in looking, in everything you do. So when you leave this place, you have not just participated, but you have taken with you, and now you have something added to your awareness of how to reach that which you're looking for. You wouldn't be in this room if you weren't looking for a different state of understanding. You would not be here. So let us understand what we are about. This isn't do 2 days just to sit here in your words and space out. That is not the point. Although, of course, we will do that. The point is to give you the skills within yourself, so when you walk again, when you sit again, you can have your own meditation workshop any day of your life, any moment of your life, any hour of your day. I'm just trying to remind you of things that you already know. The human entity knows that there is a way to become one. I'm just trying to remind you. So for those of you that think we're meditating too much, I must give you warning. I warned you, don't come if you didn't know what kind of a workshop we were attending. So now I would ask you please to go back into your ritual position as soon as you can, finishing up your tea at your leisure, and let us try for a little deeper state. What you're going to find, I hope, is we're going to move deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And when we set this evening, when the sun is setting, you will not feel the same as you felt this morning when the sun was rising. The body breathes by itself. The mind thinks by itself. Awareness simply observes the process without getting lost in the content. Each breath unique, each moment completely new. If sensation should arise in the body, let the awareness recognize it as sensation. Notice it coming, going. Not thinking of it as body or leg, as pain or vibration. Simply sensation and return to the breath. The whole process occurring by itself. Awareness observing moment to moment. The arising and passing away of experiences in mind and body, moment to moment change. In the foreground, awareness of the sensation of breathing as it comes and goes. By itself. Just breath. And awareness of breath. Surrender to the breath. Experience the breath. Don't try to get anything from it. Don't think of concentration. Just allow awareness to penetrate to the level of sensations that arise of themselves and by themselves. The point of touch becoming more and more distinct more intense with the coming and going of each breath. The mind becoming one-pointed on the sensations that accompany breath. Don't tarry with thought. Don't identify content. Return to the breath. Everyone in this room has within themselves an evaluation of themselves. And although I do not agree with your words, we'll use them. You classify two areas, positive and negative, or things that you would like to keep and things that you would either like to change or drop. Those of you that know me well know that it is a great part of my work with anyone to bring them to the place where they can look at this list and say, so what? So what? They are there, so what? Does the world pivot on this point? Does the sun rise because of this list? Does the sun cease to set because of this list? No. But such is the importance that it has in your mind, whether you are aware of it or not. So now, so that we can bring it up and let it go, because this is, after all, a weekend for letting it all go, I would ask you to take your papers and make two columns. One, those things about you that you would like to keep, those things that you consider positive, and those things that you would like to either change or drop entirely. This is a private list. You don't have to worry. To discuss anything that is relevant to what we're pursuing this weekend. So I would ask that those of you that don't wish it, of course, is not at all mandatory. But I will ask to go perhaps into a room here and take you one at a time, because I feel that many of these things can be taken care of very quickly in the quietude of one-on-one rather than in a larger situation. So please be aware that this is going to be part of it, and see if you can come in touch with one thing, I can't have 45 minutes at each time, that would be too long, but in touch with one thing that is absolutely essential to you that you would wish to have a mirror for your own understanding. All right, I would like to try an experiment. Take your list, please. And I would like for one of you to state one of the qualities you have on your side that says, I'd like to change this. Who would share one of those with us, please?
Sensitive to the others' inattention.
How many of you have a similar category on your list? Please raise your hand. All right, thank you. Could you share one of those?
Mental talking all the time.
How many of you have a similar problem? Mental talking, mind always going. Treadmill, yeah, thank you. Mrs. Hawk, could you share one?
Too much control through thinking.
Is that like in manipulation of others?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else have that on their category? Too much manipulation of others.
Desires for menial materiality.
For menial materiality.
Little things.
Little things. Anyone else have that on their list?
Judgment of anything on any level.
Does anyone else have that on their list? That's the popular one. Yes.
Self-recrimination.
Uh-huh. How many of you have that one, please?
Not being sure of who I am, forgetting.
How many of you have that?
Apathy.
Apathy.
Mental and physical.
Mental and physical apathy.
And would that be like a little bit of laziness?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you share one with us?
Oh. Feeling loneliness.
Loneliness. Uh-huh. How many of you have that one down, please? Loneliness. I imagine that most of you are either married or in some kind of a... Uh-huh.
Sometimes you can be lonelier that way.
Yes, I was recalling the situation. Yes.
Insecurities and fears.
How many of you have that one?
That I'm always trying to change everything about me because it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have that one, please?
Having a hard time finding one on whom it hasn't been read. Letting the mind go into fantasies.
Fantasies, yes. Dreams. Out of the moment. Anyone have that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Anyone can share with this one, please? Mm-hmm. All right. I have one. The woman says that she likes to be always right and gets upset if she's not. Can any of you relate to this? Now let's do the opposite list. Yes, the other. Would you start with that? If it's something that you relate to, even though you didn't manage to put it on your list, would you, you know, if you now hear it and say, ah. First of all, may I have a... How many of you have more on your I want to change side than you do on your let's leave it that way? Please raise your hand if you have more things that you want to change. All right.
Desire to know the inner self.
All right. Hands, please.
I said a willingness to look at myself. It's related to that. But it's more the desire than the way to do
it. I think it's a different quotient, yes. Any of you?
Awareness of my relation to the all in all.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anyone else?
Compassion.
Very good. Mm-hmm. How many of you, please?
Reverence.
Please, raise your hand.
Health.
Wonderful. Wonderful. How many of you can share with that?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Being alive to life.
Yes, you are. Yes. How many can...
Would you call that vitality?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 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 Yes.
Could call it humor.
Wonderful. Wonderful. How many of you could include yourself on that?
What was that?
Humor. Humor.
Willing next to experience.
Like courage to me.
Oh, I know.
Courage. That sounds like a courageous thing. How many of you, please, feel you have that quality of courage? I think everyone in this room should raise their hand on that one.
My relationships, my friendships.
You feel that they're strong and positive. How many of you identify with that?
I love to touch. Mm-hmm. To be touched. Mm-hmm.
Good. How many of you can share with that?
The feeling of power.
Uh-huh. Positive. Mm-hmm. Dynamic. Operation. Yes. How many of you can share that? And it's positive attributes. That's right.
Some moment-to-moment awareness.
Outstanding. Some moment-to-moment awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Woman indicates that she feels that she's capable of helping if needed, whether to her, if it's at the apropos time or not. How many of you can relate to that? All right, it's obvious what we're seeing. If you're feeling, I'd like for you to recall within your being the difference in the feeling tone. When I asked you to bring forward your negative side, it was easy, bold. There. Everyone was just there with it. No problem. Yes, of course. Here it is. Here it is. Then I ask, let us then say those wonderful things about you. And I sense a reluctance to say, look, there's this about me. It is my honest observation. Excuse me. Yes.
You just mentioned that, and I think that my biggest reluctance is to really accept the fact that I love my relationship with John and the children, and it's kind of why I'm afraid of it. Kind of like I love it, and I know that it's not for me to keep, it's for me to move and learn and go deep with it. And there's the other side of me that says, that wants to keep. And there's the other side that says, let go of it. And it's, as I said it, I said it with a lot of emphasis because I had the other power that says, don't do that. It's not good for you to keep those relationships or to focus on them.
Why?
The image that we must not possess, the image that love is not something that we must keep. The perhaps way in the back of me, a little bit of guilt. I'm just trying to figure it out for my own.
A part of what she's, I think, is a true statement for all of you, which is this. Just as you are reluctant to claim the positive areas of your life, it is my experience that most humans, strangely enough, feel very guilty when they feel good. Mm-hmm. They feel badly when they feel strong, when they feel alive and capable and happy and excited with life, that somehow you carry a feeling in you that this is not the way to be as a human, that you have to have problems, that you have to have a furrowed brow, and has to be all very painful, because if it's not very painful, then you're not learning. You have equated somewhere in your awareness the equation that says pain equals knowledge, pain equals growth, pain equals God, pain equals awareness. Good question. Why? Can you help us?
Why?
How many of you have this fear? How many of you can share this? judge, right?
Something like my belief in that there is no such thing as reincarnation. I didn't believe in it in my last life, and I probably won't my next.
Yes. Very good. Why? If we can put our finger on the why of this, then perhaps we can go down to the sea and let it all go. Because I want to tell you something. It is the thing that keeps you from your freedom, and let me tell you why. You will not embrace yourself totally until you face this. And you will not find peace and illumination until you have embraced your whole self. Your whole self. You are strange because I see again and again humans embracing other people's imperfections and loving them. You were aware of each other's imperfections and you love each other. You were very good friends. Does this mean you're blind to the imperfections? Nonsense. It's part of it. It is part of the substance and the wholeness and the depth of what you experience together. And yet, with that as your absolute awareness within yourself, you look at others and say, I know, they're like that, but I don't mind. I'd like to be with them anyway. Why do we carry? I see it as a line through the whole Western race.
It's like a Puritan expectation that you've placed upon yourself. Almost like if they're not bringing it, you have to be a certain way, and if you're not a certain way, then you're not acceptable.
Is it that you have to be perfect? Would you think a moment in your beings, would you say that you really feel that you need to be perfect?
No. I'm already perfect.
If you knew that, then your list would be redundant.
Feeling level, yes. Need to be perfect. Intellectually, no. Yes, feeling.
Yes. Let's take an example. Two people very close to each other, and one leaves a relationship of some kind. The other person says what? What does the other person say? Who will share? What would you say? If someone you deeply cared for left the relationship, what do you say about yourself? What do you say?
What did I do wrong?
Good. Any others?
Inadequate.
Inadequate, right?
I didn't do it right.
You didn't do it right?
Not good enough.
Right. Any others?
How can you do this to me?
Good. Any others?
What's the matter with them?
Is that what you say? Is that truly what you say?
Well, I've said it before. I don't know if I'd say it now, but...
No, what I meant was, in your being, did you really say that?
Yes, you did.
You felt that the other person had not been able to perceive your beauty. Is that true? I think that's a wonderful state of consciousness. Yes.
What do I have to perceive by this experience?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. That's intellectual, and I agree. We should all work very hard on that. But those things that come out of the inner self that say something. Now, your statement is interesting to me, because out of this whole room, only one such a statement comes out.
I felt real bad about it.
You did? Uh-huh. You see, you can't win any way we play this. We lose. Would you share what you mean by that?
Well, when I shared it with people, I got very negative feedback about it. Who are you to feel that way? But I felt for the person. I felt for the person. It wasn't like I was so great. What did you miss? I felt for the person moving away and not understanding themselves or seeing themselves. I don't know if that makes any sense.
What would make tremendous sense to me, and which is what I'm trying to see if we cannot uncover in all of us, is this. The moment someone moves away from us, we assume we have done it. We assume that we had been different, or if we had been more of this or more of that, that somehow we would not, they wouldn't have left us.
It's an interesting thing that you're saying, that because as I am imagining this, and perhaps I had experienced it before, I take it in a deeper level of guilt, in which is God is punishing me.
Uh-huh. Do you have a Catholic background?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are certain traditions that do have deeply condemning lines to them, and that's one of them. You know, because after all, they're trying to keep marriages together and families together, and so guilt has to come in. And if you do this and leave husband or wife or children or so forth, then the answer must be, well, God doesn't love you anymore. And that, of course, is man's rule. And I want to assure you of one thing. I have been many places in awareness, in the createdness, and I have never found that any place else except on this planet. This is this planet's setup. You have set this up. I have never found that particular quirk wherever else the experience has taken me, ever. So, I put that in your consciousness only to tell you that I think perhaps this is something totally human and we shouldn't project it out into all of the totality. And let me also explain one thing. Someone asked me with great humility, why do they keep saying that we cannot go beyond a certain level of understanding? We can't go past a certain barrier, a certain gateway, a certain doorway to higher awareness until we've made some changes. Why, when we are so yearning to go? Do you know how, you know, the pearly gates and whatever, the imagery? And the answer lies in what we are just talking about, and it is this. With all due respect, until you come to the place where you understand totally that all of this list, both positive and negative, are a product of man's mind and not man's being, you cannot rise, and it is only because you would be totally and utterly confused. To take this kind of limited awareness out into vaster reigns of consciousness, you would be in tremendous jeopardy. Because all that you would be doing all the time out in those new states of awareness, I'm not talking about bodies now, I'm talking about your state of awareness, you would be constantly looking around and trying to make those assessments with other people, other entities, so forth. They aren't going to be paying attention to that. You would get into a state of total isolation. Do you understand what I'm saying? You would be so isolated because there would be no like energy fields that came to be compatible with you because of your idea that you would have to not enter in. For example, let us take it into real fantasy here, which happens to be truth. You leave body consciousness, you move out into another state of awareness. You haven't dropped these feelings of right, wrong, of am I doing it right, how can I get better, so forth. All of these concepts go with you. And you move into an area, if you were allowed into it, where this was no longer a premise. An energy field moves towards you, towards you, towards you. Now, you do not know the makeup of that energy field. You do not know if it be positive, negative, harmful, loving. You have no knowledge of it because you have not learned to reason and experience with your vast being rather than your mind, all right? Now, your mind isn't going to be able to work for you here because this energy coming towards you moves very quickly and you run through your repertoire of horrors and terrors and so forth, and without even consulting you, the energy field moves right into you. If you do not know that there is nothing in the entire createdness that can hurt you, that kind of experience, which is a real experience, could so disrupt the energy field that you are that it would take a tremendous amount of what you would call time to reintegrate that kind of explosion. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because the rules on the other levels are you simply merge. You just simply merge. You just merge. You call it open heart, you know, just loving people. And you do it the best you can. But I'm talking strictly in other levels. They don't even question it. You are something, they are something, it is one. You are one substance. Therefore, the wonder and the growth is that you just merge your energies, and out of that merging of the energies, no judgment, no, oh my goodness, I don't know if I want you near me. Oh, yes, I would like to have you near me. It's just, of course. Of course. Do you understand? The kind of, now, on this planet, if you can get yourself to the place where you live in what I call the open-hearted way, allowing, just taking chances. Sometimes you're going to get somebody that goes, "Hur." They may hurt you a bit. Does it matter? Does it matter if in the long run, 99% of the time, people are open and embracing? Yes.
No, because you feel good about giving it, so it really doesn't make a difference what happens on the other side.
Exactly. Exactly. But more that you understand, this is why we keep going back. If you want to know the absolute literal truth, why you have to become compassionate, it is because you're going to be stuck here until you are compassionate. So take it or leave it. And it is not our rules from the other planes. It is the rule that of limitation that you have set up. So I would suggest to you, however much people don't like to think about other worlds and other realities, I think we have to be frank. We have to be frank. Now, it is absolutely possible, and I'd like to have you really think about this deeply, to take this entire list this day and finish with it. But there's one sad thing. Both sides of the list have to go. You cannot say, "Ah, yes, I will keep all of these and I will forget all of those." And let me explain why. You can pretend in your mind to have come to a state of understanding, acceptance, compassion, all of these things. And you can say, "No, I no longer believe any of this negative." And I would have to tell you that you have chosen to live in a world that has polarity to it, which means if you have positive, you must have negative. Mm-hmm. That is the nature of this planet. That is not a dismal fact at all. But that is the reason why both sides of this list have to go. Because if you say, "I will only build my positive," I say, "Fine, good. Next lifetime, come back and build the other." You're going to have to get that point where neither appear to you to have the manifestation of positive or negative. I am not saying that certain things will not happen in your life anymore. No, no, I am not saying that. I am saying, and this is why we began with the breath and we will end with the breath. It is my absolute knowledge that if you begin this process of watching your breath, which moves you one step back from your list, you are going to drift further away from it, and further away from it, and further away from it, and further away from it. Does not mean that your life is going to change and that, you know, things are going to be standing on their head. It is going to mean that you are going to start identifying with that part of you, that bold sky of you, rather than the clouds. And these, my friends, are clouds. Make no mistake. These are clouds. Some of them are beautiful. Oh, they shimmer. And others are dark and they thunder. But it doesn't matter. They are both of the same substance and they are clouds. And they move across the vastness of the sky. And your job is to identify again and again and again with the sky and to be totally aware that the clouds come and the clouds go I mean, we're not going to, you know, we're not anti-cloud. You know, we're not going to begin a great, you know, movement across the universe. No more clouds. No, it doesn't matter. But we are going to say we are going to be the sky and be aware of and appreciative of the clouds.
The appreciative.
Yes. Hard.
I related to her when she said that she, with John and the kids, mine was not being able to appreciate. And when you just said that, not being able to appreciate the clouds either, coming and going in the head or outside. If I could appreciate, I could live in heaven on earth, I think, if I could appreciate each moment and each thing. That, to me, seems like that would be...
Yes. All right. I would like to tell you something. What you're saying is so truthful. It is that if you could appreciate your own clouds, mm-hmm. then you could appreciate anybody's clouds. Mm-hmm. You see. The struggle is to appreciate your own clouds. That is the struggle. I would like to share a real experience with you that I hope will help you to understand how you can see these things on multi-levels. And I relate it as an experience that the woman had so that you see that this is a human condition and not something I'm pulling out of the vastness. She experienced a dream in which two people were fighting. And from the level that she perceived it at first, there was tremendous agony, violence, hatred, rage, fear. Was present in her as the observer and in the two participants. The thing was terrifying. And then, in an instant in time space, what was projected behind these two figures was two other figures. And those two figures were doing precisely what the two warriors were doing, with one exception. With them, it was a dance. The movements were there. All of the anger movements were there. All of it was going on. But the prevailing understanding was it was simply a dance. Movement here. Person A moves. Person B moves. Person A moves. Totally. Do you understand? The reason that you are so non-accepting is that you see these things only on this one level. And you relate to the violence and to the fear and to the pain and to the, oh, please don't do this to me, and the, I'm bored with you, or whatever it might be. And I tell you again, and you think I'm so simplistic, but it is true. If you continue to do what we began this morning, if you take it as something that you do all of the time, through your day, through your evenings, in the morning when you wake up, I don't mean sitting, but just being aware of breath and of your own self, you are going to find a separation. You will begin to see life as the dance. You know, the Hindus have said it for centuries, it is a dance, and they meant it. They didn't conjure it up and use a phony word. It is a dance to them. To the ones who can see, it is a dance. And everyone dances very well. When you see it like that, all of your feelings easily dissolve. If you continue, you will see the space between. You will see the space behind. You will see the space around. You will understand what the vast sky is all about. I do not see any way out other than this, my friends. I'm sorry, but I do not see any way through. You know, if you make positive affirmations, and many people are very fond of affirmations, and I think they're wonderful. They will change the face of this list tremendously. You will then come next year someday, oh, big long list down here. Positive, I am all these wonderful things, and there'll be very few up here. And I will tell you, if you even have one on this side, even one on the... We're still dealing with polarity.
So you're saying that we're still seeing, but we're just seeing differently.
Exactly. Exactly. You see...
That's the next step.
Yes, all you have to do is understand that everything's going to go on. You know, you're not... No magic wands on this lane, I'm sorry. You have to keep that for your fantasies. They're not going to be any fairy godmother. Bang, finished with it. transformation. Tremendous fairy tale. I love it. I will tell you what I would see as the fairy godmother, and that is, excuse me, the breath, the awareness, the awareness, the awareness. Because in that story, it is the young girl in her rags who is totally unable within herself to transform herself at all. And she's standing around crying and moaning and feeling very, very sorry for herself, is she not? Poor me. Everybody has everything. Everybody gets the prince, and here I am, and I'm standing here in my terrible clothes and having all this work to do, and life is a drag. Totally unable to do anything about her own transformation. And that, truly, I feel this about this story. And then up comes this wonderful, wonderful fairy godmother, bedecked and bedazzled in wondrous things, and says, "Don't worry, sweetheart, I'll take care of your problem." She gets a hold of her wand, she sprinkles the dust, and boom, it's all finished.
And you'll still believe it's going to happen.
That is what I'm trying to point out. I think that you do believe it's going to happen. I think you believe that not only that is going to happen, but Prince Charming or Princess Charming, whichever might be your, you know, the beautiful princess or the beautiful prince. I believe that all of these ideas are very strongly in your mind, and you are simply, many of you, waiting for somebody to come along and go, "There you are. I've taken care of it." Yes.
But what Liz was referring to is what I see is a tendency in people that seek awareness to set up double-bind situations for themselves.
Could you explain that, please? It sounds very plausible.
They start seeking awareness, and they start getting it. One, they fear they're going to lose it. Or they start feeling good about themselves and they say, "Something's, I'm doing something wrong." And you know, even if some good things happen in their lives, the same thing happens. And so they never appreciate what they have. Or they're always afraid they're going to lose it. Or they're afraid they're just really displeasing God because they're enjoying what's happening. And that's what you were talking about last night. And you've said before, the universe is on your side, but I don't think most of us really believe
it. I don't believe you believe it at all. He says, "I have said, and I say it until I finish whatever I'm doing, the universe is absolutely on your side." But no, I do not think that you believe it. I do not think that you believe it. In fact, you don't even believe that the other people in your universe are on your side. I mean, you see, you have no place that you can go to and get that nurturing that you're looking for. But I will tell you, in response to what you were speaking about a moment ago, again and again I have to say, I honestly do feel that it will prove to you a different circumstance entirely if you will begin practicing awareness all of the time, watching yourself feel guilty, watching yourself enjoying, watching. Out of that watching comes the power of discrimination. And you will be able to discriminate between those things that have been placed upon you since infancy and onward, not only in this lifetime, but just to totally confuse the situation, other lifetimes too. You don't have to go back through all those lifetimes in order to clear the situation, but you do have to be totally alive and aware in this one. And that is available to all of you. This is why I do not feel sorry. I would feel extremely sorry for the human condition if I did not know that. But that is available to anyone who wants to exercise their birthright.
So the trusting of our own process is difficult because we don't think the universe is on our side.
Yes, but I'll tell you something. If you begin to observe, you will see that it is. You see, everything I have said either is true or I am an absolute fruitcake. Take whichever one you want. It doesn't matter to me. That will not change my reality, but it will certainly change you. And I tell you, if you keep observing in the way that I'm asking you to observe, you will find these things out for yourself. You do not have to go, you know, to Neptune to understand. Right here, you will see and know and feel. You will begin to feel. Some of you began to feel it this morning. It started to come up in some of you. I saw it. Good gracious. How good it is to be here and to be me and to be doing this, and wow, how wonderful. So, when you begin to say, I am going to just keep on watching all of the time, you're going to find yourself in the midst of the most absurd positions and conditions and circumstances. And when you are in touch with that aliveness, that life force within you, you're going to say, wonderful! I don't really care what's going on out there. I feel wonderful. And that is what I'm talking about. That power, that process, is the thing that frees you from all of the past. It frees you from both sides of your list, because you see just as much humor how the positive has been programmed in you too. You see, people decide how you should be, how children should be. Everybody knows that. Adults know just how children should be. They are not that way themselves, but they are very sure that they know how children should be. And so out of that comes an idea in your mind. You will see that some of these so-called positive characteristics are also man-made. And that you can be very happy indeed, and very loved indeed, and very accepted indeed without them. This is not the criteria of why people accept you. It has nothing to do with this list, but you think it does. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you try to build up your good side and to get rid of your bad side so that everyone will love you. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any inkling at all why people really love people? If it is not, I mean, don't you know, haven't you said it to yourself? A couple together, and everyone says, how can he possibly love her? She is the most outrageous person. I do not see how anyone can love her. And you can have 60 people in a room, and they all say, that lady is terrible. Mm-hmm. But the fact remains that Mr. loves her. Doesn't pretend to, honestly loves her. Why? It's not because of her list. Why? Not if it's real love. I'm speaking of that basic, you know, I care about this person. I care. Why?
Because it's okay with her to be karma. The way she is.
No, don't ever use karma, please. Karma is, to me, the universal kappa. We can say everything is karma. And I would say, until you know that it is karma, until you can read the karmic record, let's not do it. Okay? Let's say right in this lifetime. Why?
She would accept that in herself?
Let me tell you a very interesting thing that you've just said. When you are in a state of acceptance within yourself, of yourself, saying, I would prefer not to be this way, but it happens to be that I am this way, what you do is let go inside yourself and become yourself.
And then people?
People say, this person has so let go inside themselves that when I'm around this person, I don't have to be somebody I don't want to be. I can be myself. And if I'm outrageous and yell and scream, fine. Why? Because this person doesn't mind. This person has seen their own yelling, screaming side and says, it's all right with me, it's your turn. I'll take my turn tomorrow. Not always wanting to become different, but saying, this is how it is. And they have no strings on you, and they have no strings on themselves, and just to be around them is to say, everything is all right.
That's love.
Yes. Love of self, mm-hmm. And love of others. Exactly. Starting here and moving to others. If you have no strings about yourself and say, yes, this is me, all right, I would rather be, you know, gorgeous and rich and beautifully intelligent and dynamic and all the da-da-da-da. But you know, the truth is that I'm all the rest of this, and that's all right with me. And be totally at ease with that. Everyone in your environment will sense it. Now, the interesting thing that happens is that you usually start to change, so that you probably do end up being a little more, you know, loving, so forth. But that isn't the criteria that begins it. The criteria that begins it is you have stated, this is it. This is who I am. Do you know, everyone in this room, you have tried for years to change yourself. Is there anyone in this room who has not tried to change part of themselves? It's going on all the time. You take care of one problem, you say, oh, good, I've taken care of that, now let's work on the next one. And it seems to me your life is a series of garbage cans that you are going through. And after one, after the other, until someday you're saying, someday there's going to be no garbage cans in my life.
And the only way you change is through the acceptance. When it's okay to be angry and you really accept that in yourself, then the anger's gone.
Exactly. You don't say, boy, I'm going to start out to be angry because I think it's wonderful. You say, I understand it's hard for others when I'm angry, but that happens to be who I am. That happens to be who I am. And in the moment of accepting the anger, anything you accept in yourself, you have automatically accepted in other people. And if you have not accepted it in other people, be aware you haven't done it in yourself. A person who has accepted their own anger is very easy with anger. You know, some people are very easy with anger. They don't mind anger around them because they know their own. And so they say, okay, fine, that's all right. Other people are easy with other aspects of their being. But people who are not easy with their own aspects become very difficult to be around. They project out, if you want to be with me, you just jolly well better be perfect. What does this mean? That you have to stop being all of those things. Is that clear? Is there a question?